Hello, my name is Greg Levenhagen, here for the next session on the developer track for the 2015 Microsoft MVP Virtual Conference. This session is One XAML UI to Rule Them All with Universal Apps and Xamarin Forms. My name is Greg Levenhagen. I'll be your presenter for this session. I'm a Microsoft MVP in the Windows Platform Development Stack. Work for a consulting company called Skyline Technologies. The moderator is Luan Mong, is also a Microsoft Client Development MVP and contracts and consults as well. So for an agenda today, we're going to cover Xamarin Forms as well as Universal Apps, now kind of shortened up to an acronym called UWP, and how they enable cross-platform development, specifically with using XAML. We're going to then cover a little bit of a brief history of XAML and its various implementations to give you a better understanding of where we came from and how we got to where we are today. A little bit of an overview of the different development environments that you can use to make cross-platform apps. And then we'll cover Xamarin Forms XAML as well as some universal apps. And then as long as we have some time, we'll get into a demo. So the first thing to realize that universal apps, which allow us to make C# and XAML universal apps on the Microsoft stack with things like the Xbox One, Windows 8, Windows 8 Phone, as well as the soon-to-be-released Windows 10, is that Microsoft has now combined and made a common kernel so that we have that common set of functionality which we can take advantage of as developers, and that gets exposed to us through the APIs that are available within the .NET framework, within WinRT, and so on. When we look at the approach that's taken from the Xamarin side, on the left-hand side we see that there's the traditional Xamarin approach, which we've probably heard about over a couple of years, where you still had native UIs, which you were able to use C# for the common backend. On the Xamarin Forms side, which is really released last June, so June 2014, what it allowed us to do is now take XAML as well. You can see that there's still little slivers on top of the shared UI code, and that's because if you want to, you can still do custom renders and get native access to the rendering engines on the specific platforms. But for the vast majority of line of business apps in particular, as well as a lot of the built-in controls, text box, grids, list views, that kind of stuff, we can have a shared UI across Apple, iOS, and Windows. And Android. Now, when Xamarin Forms was first released, it only was supporting the Windows Phone based on Silverlight XAML, and not at all supporting the WinRT side. And as of about 3 or 4 weeks ago, Xamarin announced preview support for Xamarin Forms on Windows, which means they will ultimately be supporting the WinRT stack. And that means from a Xamarin Forms side, we can target iOS, Android, and then everything that a Windows universal app is going to support. So that would mean things like the Windows 10 Phone, or Windows 10 Mobile, I think is now what's being called, Windows 10 Desktop or Normal, the Xbox version, whatever else comes along in the future as well. Next up, give a little bit of history on the XAML implementations. So I think WPF was originally announced at one of the conferences in 2003. And maybe it was around 2005 or so when it was really released stable to the public and everything. And that is, by most people's opinions, the most feature-rich version of XAML implementations. And it was great. It still is great for doing a lot of line of business enterprise type apps, but there's definitely some performance concerns that have been revealed over the years. So WPF is still an ongoing and fully supported thing. If you want to check out the .NET 4.6 framework that's coming out, a lot of cool announcements were added at Build as well around WPF performance and diagnostics enhancements within Visual Studio. We then move on to Silverlight, where we had the browser plugin, and then Windows Phone, which is very much like a Silverlight, but it added in the ability to have hardware integration with the phone so that you could get access to the camera and whatnot. Now, those were, for the most part, I don't have the technical details whether they were a fork or a complete rewrite, but for the sake of runtimes, we're really looking at different runtimes that have different feature sets. And there's different performance considerations that are taken within those. Ultimately, we look at potentially having something of a rewrite to get much better performance out of WPF. And ultimately, I like to think of as that essentially being what's brought us to universal apps with WinRT, because now we have an implementation of XAML that's not going to have dependencies on DirectX or other various features that may be keeping it harder to keep up to date. And so the vision with Microsoft with that shared kernel across the platform with Windows 10 allows the implementation of XAML to be performant, and you get a common development experience across those, as well as the OS continues to evolve and grow, it'll inherently grow with the implementation of XAML that we use for universal apps. The implementation for Xamarin Forms is not an implementation from Microsoft, but from Xamarin. And what we look at is, I think Xamarin took the 2009 specification for XAML. So just like C#, which has always had its specification open, and now C#, being open sourced, from a language support, we've always seen XAML have an open specification. And so the guys over at Xamarin decided to implement their own implementation of it from the 2009 spec. They did a lot of the same stuff, but they also changed some of the stuff. So when we look at some of the controls, for instance, instead of what we may be familiar with for, say, a stack panel, that's referred to as a stack layout in Xamarin Forms. So there are some naming differences. There are also some platform-specific enablement features, like the on platform within Xamarin Forms, that help us specifically do some custom renderings based off of which platform we may be targeting. For development environments, when we look at XAML development and within apps, we've had support for XAML going back using the WPF and Silverlight with previous versions. But when we start looking at creating either Xamarin Form apps or Universal apps, we're targeting either Xamarin Studio, which is a separate IDE from Xamarin, or Visual Studio. And we can use a plugin from Xamarin within Visual Studio to get the best of both worlds there. Otherwise, we can use Visual Studio with 2013, 2015, which is currently in release candidate, in order to get the latest bits for the Windows 10 development app model. So as some of that Visual Studio integration, you may be wondering what that's like for cross-platform development. Well, within a single solution with that Xamarin integration into Visual Studio, you can target iOS, Android, Windows Phone, Windows Store, all within that single solution. So you have a project per platform type, and then you're able to share those between either a shared project or a portable class library. This allows you to leverage that Visual Studio IDE with tools like ReSharper, Team Foundation Server, whatever it may be. But more importantly, it gets you in that comfortable same environment you may be used to using for XAML with other previous platforms. When we talk about debugging for cross-platform development with this scenario, we definitely have dropdowns that allow us to pick our different emulators, different target platforms, and make debugging pretty nice. So when we want to start digging into the Xamarin Forms section of the presentation, it's really about using a shared C# code base as well as a shared XAML code base on top of that for the UI. So what do we get included? Well, there's over 40 pages, layouts, controls, and they're all built from code behind or XAML. So this brings up an interesting point. You don't have to use the XAML for the markup. I happen to be very much on the side of liking to use the XAML. It helps keep the separation between your UI and your logic rather than having to instantiate my visual UI controls in the code behind. It also brings up a potential growth for the future. So right now, when you're doing cross-platform development on the UI side, it becomes difficult and challenging to try and create a designer in that scenario. So at this point in time, on the Xamarin Forms stack, we do not have a designer. On the Universal Apps, we definitely have a designer, and there's been some great improvements on that. So, you know, if you're targeting Windows 10, Windows 8.1, Windows Phone 8.1, you definitely have the designer. But if you're doing iOS or Android with Xamarin Forms, you will not. With the implementation from Xamarin Forms, we definitely get the two-way data binding, which is one of the main reasons a lot of people like XAML. In my opinion, you know, when that came out, that inherently started getting the web developers of the world a little bit jealous, which, you know, if you think about timelines, definitely had two-way data binding in XAML well before the mass uptake of it in JavaScript, you know, with things like Backbone and Knockout. Navigation is included. This is a big deal for Xamarin Forms to include because navigation is different among the various three major platforms. For instance, a Windows Phone has the back button on the bottom left as part of the hardware scenario, and the you know, iPhone obviously just has the single button with no navigational hardware. Android you know, has different scenarios. And so it's it can be difficult to predict what's going to necessarily be needed on those. But with this, we, you know, if a back button is obviously is needed, and we wrap our overall pages in a navigation page, what will happen is Xamarin Forms will automatically add a back button on the iOS side. It'll automatically wire up the events for the hardware back button on the Windows side, likewise on Android. So it saves us from having to do a lot of that plumbing code. There also is support for an animation API. So, you know, it's not something that we're going to dig too much into here, but worth definitely a mention in order for you to make those subtle animations and transition between page views or whatnot to help make a great user experience within your application. There's also a built-in dependency service in Xamarin Forms. This allows for, you know, you don't necessarily need to use third-party frameworks. Personally, I happen to like MVVM Lite and still opt to use that. But, you know, this provides you either to use an option to use the built-in one or to use external libraries, either your own or NuGet packages for commonly provided ones as well. Same thing kind of goes along with the messaging center, you know, where I can get a messaging center out of something like MVVM Lite and pass messages within view model to view model scenario. If you want to use the built-in one from Xamarin Forms, you also get that. So I mentioned, you know, a lot of different pages, controls, and whatnot that are available with Xamarin Forms. So here we look at some of the built-in ones. We have a blank content page, which allows us to really make whatever kind of UI we may need. You know, if you're thinking something like a 2D game or you just want a blank canvas to do whatever it is you may see fit within your app, you can do that. We have a master detail type view, kind of similar to like a split view control on the Universal App side of things. What we look at there is that blue portion of the master detail section pops out from the left-hand side, commonly referred to as like the hamburger type pattern, where there's a little horizontal three bars in the top left in the menu, and then that blue section pops out. On the navigational side, it's what I was kind of highlighting before, up in the blue bar, if needed, we'll have a navigational bar with a back button and a title. If it's not needed for the back button because of hardware, that won't be there then. The blue bar wouldn't be there. We also have a tabbed control for viewing. Depending on the platform, that renders very differently. So for instance, on here, we can see, tabs rendered on the bottom of the page with various buttons. That on a Windows phone scenario gets rendered as a pivot. And then we have a carousel so that we can swipe left to right and transfer through the content there. From a layouts perspective, vast amount of layout options are available. This helps us with aligning content as well as displaying it. So we have a vertical and horizontal stacking mechanism built into Xamarin Forms. We have absolute layouts that we can do within the XAML as well. We have a relative, so that the relative will help in most of those scenarios where we have a lot of different device sizes and we don't want to actually hard code our XAML to specify, this is so many pixels exactly here and there, and then somebody reads it or somebody views your app on a different sized tablet, then the app doesn't necessarily look as great. So the relative can help out with that. Same type of scenario with a grid. Grid layout allows us to pack on a bunch of different content here as shown. We can also space those out a little bit, so if you're worried about clutteredness, you can definitely adjust that as needed. Content view, like we talked about on the previous, from a content page, content view is really going to be that blank canvas for us. The scroll view, I think that's kind of self-explanatory. And then we have frames, which can be smaller sections and reusable pieces within our XAML UI markup. So what kind of controls do we get built in with Xamarin Forms? Here's some of them. There are plenty more that are not on here. To point out some of the differences here, if we look at the second row on the left-hand side, we have entry, and entry is really what we would expect to be called text box in the Microsoft implementation of XAML. So just like the stack layout, stack panel, as well as we can see some of the controls are named the same, such as button, label, slider. So we do get some more advanced controls as well. We do have an OpenGL view. We do have the date picker. And a web view control, so we can do a lot of different things within stuff that's out of the box from Xamarin Forms. Here we can see a little bit of an example for what that markup looks like. Now, when I create one little caveat, when I created this code snippet here, there's technically three different pages in that snippet. So the red squigglies are not actually red squigglies if they were to be separated in separate files, but I wanted to get them into one shot there. So what we're looking at here is that we have a UI on the right-hand side, and I'll highlight the Windows phone, the far right one at first. We have an overall main page, and that main page is the bottom one on the left-hand side for the XAML markup. And so we can see on line 24 that that's actually called a tabbed page. So we can see that in use and see how that gets rendered on Windows phone. And then if you look at that on Android, we see that the profile and settings tabs are up at the top. And then on iOS, we see those on the bottom with icons as well for the profile and settings. Now within that tabbed page on line 28 and 29, we see that I've included a profile page and a settings page. Those are what the two blocks up of code are, starting at line 1 and starting at line 14. So if we look into the section starting at line 1, we can see that that's where the profile page gets its icon as well as its title on line 5 and 6. And that's where the name comes from as far as that's rendered within the tabs. If the UI supports the use of the icon, then It will obviously be displayed like in the iOS case. On line 7, we have a stack layout. We put in some spacing and padding, say that we have vertical options of lining it to the center. And then we have two entries and a button. So we see the username, password, and then the login button. That one piece of code there for that login is what's shown as the content section of the profile tab on each of the phones right now. So by us only having to do really a stack panel with two entries and a button inside of it, that renders as we see in those screenshots on the right-hand side without us doing any other markup that we need to. It's pretty nice. And then for the sake of the completeness of using a tab, we have an empty settings page as well there. So now moving on to the Universal Windows Platform, UWP for the acronym side of things. We can look at controls that we have from 8.1 with WinRT, and we can notice that there are definitely differences in look, feel, and even in some of the APIs, depending if we were targeting the laptop, desktop scenario, or if we were targeting the phone scenario. But when we move on to actually Windows 10 type stuff, we get a shared code base with a much more common experience that our end users would like. So for instance, we've had the pivot control on Windows Phone for years, and now with Windows 10, we see that brought to a tab type scenario on desktops. And that way we can utilize a single kind of markup in our XAML and still get a UI that makes sense depending on what the user is consuming our app from. On the list of the common controls here, we have more or less, you know, a common branding, behavior, scaling, support for diverse inputs. And we can look at a list of the controls like on the left-hand side for some of the examples with a button, image, a checkbox, radio buttons, repeats, sliders, a toggle button, toggle switch, progress ring, progress bar. So what we expect out of these type of scenarios now, and a much larger control set, not just the ones that are shown here, is that within the UWP side of making apps, you know, we'll have a good experience that scales, whether somebody's looking at it on a Windows phone or Windows 10 mobile, all the way up to an Xbox on 100-inch TV. And, you know, that's expected to be supported as things like the HoloLens and Xbox, you know, start having support along the same lines as Windows 10 sometime in the future. When we look at one of the big changes that, you know, from a community perspective, those that really care a lot about the design have had some interest in the hamburger menu, as I've talked about earlier on the Xamarin side. Here we can look at a split view, which is Windows 10 adopting a hamburger. Now, when I was at the Microsoft Build Conference, I went to a couple of the design sessions. They said you shouldn't view that the hamburger is the way to do Windows 10 apps, but more or less it's an option. And if you can't really display your navigational structure in a more intuitive fashion, and you ultimately need something like the hamburger, then you can use it. But they don't recommend necessarily just using it outright, right? In more simple scenarios or more user discoverable situations, you should opt for something that's a little bit better if possible. For those cases that we definitely need to use it, we can look at the split view control, which has now been added for UWP. We can talk about different display modes. So whether it's inline or overlay or compact inline or compact overlay. And then we can specify inside the pane for the navigation content. And then outside that split view pane, we can push the main content, which would be like the yellow section. When we talk about simplifying our XAML code that we need to write in order to make Windows 10 handle the various screen sizes that we already see today and expect to see even more diversity through the upcoming years. We now can see that the Microsoft XAML has provided an equivalent of what we have for CSS media queries on the web stack. And as we can see here, when we look at the visual state setters, we can say that the split view.display mode and then give it a value of inline. And we can say that that's on an adaptive trigger with a min window width of 724 pixels, or effective pixels. And then down below, we can say split view.display mode equals a value of overlay when the min window width is zero. Now, if you're familiar at all with the Visual State Manager, this can get, or this type of syntax actually is much less than what we've had to do in some past scenarios, because when we've actually switched those values, say from inline to overlay, what we as developers would have to do in our XAML is, have a base state and then whatever the other state was, where we would need to change a variety of values. And in this scenario, this can make it a lot simpler so that we don't necessarily have to worry about changing a lot of the VSM, the Visual State Manager settings across all those controls, because the controls now have built-in support for whether or not they're displayed in certain situations. Now, if we continue on with this to the relative panel, we now can see that there's a lot of code that we've had to write in the past. So this is showing a traditional nested panel layout, and we talk about having a grid, and then we have to define different column definitions for that grid, maybe some different row definitions as well. We then have an image as part of the grid content. We then have a stack panel specifying it in the different column. We specify the text box within there and a button, and that ultimately gets us something of a screenshot that we have on the right-hand side there. And that can, that's, 12, 13 lines of code for our XAML. And that can be a little bit much for what we hopefully can do in less code. So when we look at the relative panel, we can see that we can display an image, and we actually get the game Jack London displayed up on the relative panel within our view. Once we add in a text box into that relative panel, we can say relative panel dot write of img. Notice that img is the x name on the image for the line above. And then we have rp, and that's shorthand notation, as the note says on the bottom, so that I can get it on the screen. But it would be relative panel dot align with top. And again, I specify the element name img so that it's to the right of and aligning with the top of that. And this is helping us adjust, some of that layout issues in a much more relative way, in a fluid way, than what we'd have to experience from the grid. So we add in another text block, right? Let's make this a little more complex. So we say this is, again, a relative panel to the right of IMG, but relative panel dot below title. So now we're linking the relative attached properties, or the relative panel attached properties off of both the image and the text box with the title name there. We add yet a third one, and in the same similar fashion, this time going off of IMG and authors. And finally, to complete the same scenario as the previous slide, we look at a button, and we say, again, that's relative panel dot right of image, relative panel dot align bottom with panel true. So we have a note here we can use with triggers and setters for more advanced responsive designs as well. So let's go look at some actual code here. And looks like my XAML samples. Okay. get in. There we go. Open with code. So instead of using Visual Studio today, I'm actually using the Visual Studio code, since I'm not actually going to be compiling and running these. It's just more about the XAML implementations. So I thought it's nice and light to switch back and forth as I open up some different files. So what we're looking at here is a Xamarin Forms. We're looking at Xamarin Forms. What we're looking at here is that we first notice in Xamarin Forms that we start with an XML tag at the top. It's not quite the same exact syntax. And then we can actually look at the specification for the schema that's been defined from Xamarin. And then here, as I mentioned, the 2009 language specification of XAML from Microsoft is the schema that it's originally built on. We scroll down a little bit, we can see that we have the same kind of layout controls with grid and stack layout for organizing content within our screen. So we have grid and row and column definitions. We scroll down a little bit more, let's get into some interesting pieces here. So within this code, we see that we've got a couple buttons here with here's a delete char command, and we have a top one displaying our text, and then we have a whole bunch of buttons that all symbolize 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 down through 0 that on a screen arranged to a scenario of a what would look like a phone, a keypad. Now, within the Xamarin Forms XAML, what I'd like to point out here is that there is support for the commanding approach. So this means we can have a nice separation of concerns within our application from the XAML UI markup to our code behind, not having to actually be used, and then actually having the command in our view model so that it allows us to nicely follow the MVVM pattern. For those that are unaware, MVVM stands for the model view model pattern. It really helps us go a long way with keeping that separation concerns in place. So we look at all these buttons here as I scrolled back and forth. If we flip back to our, no, let me close that. We flip back here to our code behind page. So our key page, .xaml.cs, we open up that. We can see that indeed we don't have any code behind. It is simply our initialized component, which is required by every XAML type page. So this is as clean as we can get as far as the separation of concerns there. So the final part of this is let's look at our keypad view model, and this will allow us to see that the full support from a MVVM side of things is implemented. So we have our iNotify property change just like we would expect. And in our constructor, we wire up lambda expressions on our commands. So we have an add char command, and all we do is append the most recent key press to our input string. So you simulate somebody dialing a phone number like 312-555, whatever it may be. With the delete char, we look at a substring of the length minus one, so it's really popping the last digit off of the input string. And then we have properties down below, and we can see that the command gets checked for a can change execute, whether or not we're going to enable or disable the button. We have our on property change. So we get a full implementation as far as our Xamarin Forms cross-platform development with XAML. We also want to look down at the slider example. So with the slider bindings page, we open up that. We can see here that we have inside of a stack layout, a label, a slider, and a label. So again, this right now is still focused on the Xamarin Forms XAML side of things. Instead of having a data context, right, we reference that as a binding context. We can see that we have some element to element binding going on here. So this rotation label is actually referencing the slider control. And that rotation value on our label is bound to the path value of the slider, since that's where our binding context is actually at. That means that this label is going to display the rotation, or the rotation here is it's going to display the number that the slider is at from 0 to 360. We know it goes up to 360 because that's what the maximum value is set at. The label below this is also an element-to-element binding against the slider object here in line 16. Now this text box is also going to the value, but it's putting it into a string format and saying the angle is, and then we have a decimal formatted representation for the degrees. Now with this wire up and a little bit of complex binding going on, you can go and look at the slider bindings page code behind. And I meant to say open with code. So here we can see once again that we can do a lot within our XAML markup in complex scenarios, and we don't have to actually worry about a lot of stuff in the code behind. Of course, if you really have scenarios where you want to, or that's your preferred method, you can still do so. All right, so now we want to look at the list page demo. And in here, we can see that we have resources. So within the Xamarin Forms, just like we have on for years on the Windows side of things, we have the ability to have page resources as well as external resources, and we include those in a resource dictionary. So then we can use those, you know, once our content control within the page is actually being utilized. Of particular interest here, though, with Xamarin Forms cross-platform XAML is that they've added in this construct for on-platform. And so what we can see going on here is that we give it a key for box size so that we can determine how to access that if needed. We have type arguments. So this one is a double, one down below is an int32. And then we can see that we have different values for the box size. And on iOS, it's set to 50, Android is set to 50, and Windows Phone needs 75. This allows us in those scenarios, like in this case, setting the box size, to have some specific platform needs met. Excuse me. Ideally, those scenarios aren't going to come up too much. So like in the case of using, you know, the standard text box, or as they call it, entry, or other basic types of controls, you know, those aren't going to really be a problem. Where I found from personal experience that the on-platform can come into play is when I'm doing some not so typical line of business stuff, or I'm worried about some custom image rendering type scenarios, then I'll break out and need some specific on-platform. I don't find myself using that too much, but it's great that they added it for those cases that you do. It really allows you to practice the, I'm going to code for the majority of the cases, and I can manage the exceptions when needed, allowing us to focus more on ultimately providing some kind of business value. And then, so this one, we've got a comment here that says, this is only an issue on iPhone, Android, and WinPhone auto size the row height to the contents. So occasionally you run into scenarios like that, where when controls are rendered, like in this case with a list view, you know, we can set the row heights differently. So one of the most commonly used controls, what we can see here is the list view. This allows us to have all different kinds of item templates as well as data templates. As you can see here, these are common constructs where the data template can allow us to display a different type of XAML markup based off of some of the input. And, you know, so we see stack layouts, box views, labels, a variety of different bindings. We also have support for converters. I know there are some people out in the community that don't necessarily prefer using converters because they can have some different impacts or complexities along with them, but there is indeed support here. So that XAML that you already know from the Windows stack definitely ports over to the XAML forms. When we're looking at String format, we also have that ability, just like was added with text. I think that was maybe like Silverlight 4 and on, maybe Silverlight 5. So since then we've had that. So we get a lot of parity between these two from the Universal App side as well as from the Xamarin Forms side. Let's see, which was the other one? Here we go, the grid page demo. So we look at this, we can also see that just for iOS, we want to set a different thickness. And in this case, with the on platform, that allows us to handle that top header section for iOS. I think since iOS 7 started including, you know, that little time bar of 20 pixels or not, where you can have that as part of your app or not. And I think personally that can sometimes cause a weird user experience for the end users, but it allows us to handle that scenario. So typical kind of grid layout where we would expect, you know, specifying different rows and grid columns with attached properties. We can handle X alignments back and forth. So we get a lot of different capabilities there. Now, let's go over to our Windows Universal Apps. And if we want to look at our, just come into some XAML here. We look at some scenario for, say, orientation changed. We'll open this with our code. We can see starting at the top, so this is an example that's pulled out of the Universal Windows apps that are made available from Microsoft. So that's why you see the copyright there. But notice the difference in change that this is not an XML at the top markup. This is our Windows implementation of Xamarin now, or, sorry, of XAML. A lot of XAs in there. And as we look at this, we see same kind of common components between grids, stack panels, and text blocks. You know, as we come along, we see same kind of style binding, same kind of attached properties that we would expect within Universal Apps from Xamarin Forms. Let's pop back out. Going to say background sensors. And let's go look at our scenario for device use. Here we still get our common scroll viewer as well as our stack panel. I wanted to point out the difference in the names from stack layout to stack panel so that, you know, there is a little bit of mental mapping that you need to do back and forth on those. Okay, so that about wraps up the demos that I was planning to cover from a XAML perspective. There are a lot of new features coming on the XAML side within Visual Studio 2015. Particularly the X bind stuff, which I did not have time to get into today, but that was announced at Build. And I encourage you to look at some of those videos that are online. What the X bind scenario is covering is really a compiled type of binding scenario for your XAML code. At right now, that's only going to be supported on the Universal Windows platform. And that allows for a much more performant type of implementation. Some of the defaults change in there, so some of the controls that you may expect to do one-way binding and have updates whenever your code changes, some of those defaults have changed to one-time binding. So, you know, you'll have to learn a little bit of caveats there, but all in all, if you need some performant type XAML within your Windows 10 applications, definitely pay attention to those XBind scenarios. The nice thing is that you can use the existing binding and the new X binding side by side and mix and match as needed. So at this point in time, I hope Lewin has had some questions come in from the audience. And I'd be happy to answer those.
Great. At this time, we're also going to open up for our polls. So ladies and gentlemen, if you look to your left-hand viewing area, you will see some polls that will be displayed on the screen here. If you just take a moment to respond, we greatly appreciate your feedback. And Greg, go ahead.
Okay.
Hey, Greg.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, Lynn.
Hey, I got a couple of questions here for you. The first question, actually, I kind of replied to a question. I lost one of them, but they're very similar to each other. In Xamarin, what is the best way to reset the values on the bindings since navigation requires pages to be instantiated all at once or when the app is started? Does it still hold?
So what was the first part of that? To reset the
Let me
binding?
type that in for you on the chat.
Okay.
There you go.
I'm going to, for the moderators, I'm going to stop presenting if you want to take over the slide control then. Is that okay? That way I can see. Okay, so there we go. So now we've got, trying to read this text here, just make sure.
I got that's question one. I got
Okay.
question
In
two.
Xamarin, what's the best way to reset the values on the bindings since navigation requires pages to be instantiated all at once when the app is started? Does that still hold? I don't think that that does. And we happen to have another Xamarin experienced expert here. So although I'm part of the Xamarin Insiders and Xamarin Premier Partner, I'm going to maybe defer to James. James, do you have any insight to answer that question? Are you even ready to take a, are you even have your mic on? It looks like he doesn't. So, I'm not sure. I don't know if that still holds true to that binding scenario where they all need to be instantiated at first.
Okay. The second question is the relative panel from Xamarin or from .NET 4.6?
The relative panel is from the new Universal Windows platform. That's a great question. That was announced at Build, so you can use that right now by downloading Visual Studio 2015 RC and keep going on.
Okay. After that, the activity indicator is a good way to show that stuff that is happening, but it does not lock the control from interaction. What would be the recommendation for implementing this?
Yes, great. So this is kind of an age-old user experience type issue. And so I actually just ran across this a couple months ago with that activity indicator. Basically, there's a couple different ways you can handle that. For one, a common way that still allows for some nice user experience is to use the commanding, like I showed in one of the examples there. With the commanding approach, you can have a test for on your buttons, for instance, to say, is this or can this execute? And depending on that Boolean result of an expression, which can be against some business logic or just a straight Boolean value itself, it'll actually disable that button while something is happening. So for instance, when your activity indicator, if that's bound to something in your view model and that turns on, you can actually have that opposite be triggered to disable any of the commands you may have. Another way that used to be done before that, and is often done on the web, is to put some kind of clear overlay so that the users can't click it. And that's kind of like the most hacky approach. In XAML itself, you can turn off the hit test on each of the controls that you're worried about, so that the user, when they click those, can be turned on and turned off. And then finally, you can take an approach between enabling and disabling each type of control if you're really worried about it. Ultimately, the concern there is that you don't want to lock up the screen entirely. Like you'd still like it to be responsive in case they want to close the screen or do something else. But if you truly have a synchronous operation there, like your question is getting at, there are a variety of ways that you can try and address this.
And okay, Greg, another question. Can I use bind in Xamarin or Xamarin Forms?
No, you cannot at this point. I would think that the smart guys over at Xamarin are probably working on something similar, but at this point in time, that came from the XAML team at Microsoft and is only part of the Universal Windows platform.
And another question I have is. Is the relative panel part of XAML or Xamarin?
I'm sorry, what was that last part? I missed
The
that.
relative panel, is it a part of XAML or Xamarin?
The relative panel is part of the Microsoft implementation of XAML at this point in time.
Okay, am I missing any other questions? I don't think so. Hey, Matthias, are the questions being answered already for you satisfactorily?
All right, so that looks like we've got most of our questions answered. If there's any additional ones that we didn't get addressed, my email was up on, or my Twitter was up on screen. It's just at Greg Levenhagen. You can always tweet me or find me at greglevenhagen.com and send me a message or whatever, and I'd be happy to help you out. And Lynn, what was your Twitter handle in case anyone wants to know?
L-M-A-U-N-G. Quick question. There was another question that came in. The question is, can you talk a little bit about Xamarin and iOS?
Yeah, so the Xamarin iOS support is great, both on the Xamarin, I don't know if it's the official term, but I refer to it as Xamarin Classic, which would mean the non-Xamarin Forms side of things. I've worked on, as a consultant, both apps with Xamarin Classic as well as Xamarin Forms that are now out in production. And, there's the Xamarin Classic, you still have to write the UI multiple times. So you have to look at a cost trade-off there. The last couple projects I've done, we've gone towards Xamarin Forms because it helps those companies get to market quicker with a cheaper cost. And we've definitely been supporting iOS on those apps that we've done. Not sure if there's anything more specific, but there's great integration with both Xamarin Studio and Visual Studio in those fronts. So like when you're interested in looking at values within your P list or the app package configuration, you have that ability within Visual Studio. You don't actually have to go fire up Xcode on an OS X side. That brings up probably an interesting point I should mention. Because of Apple's licensing restrictions, you cannot virtualize OS X, so you'll need to have either a Mac on a network or dual boot with Windows inside of a virtual machine type scenario. That way you can have a Mac build host and allow for, when you compile it in Visual Studio, that it'll actually send it off to the Mac, compile it, but then you'll get the errors back in Visual Studio so that you can run from there through the emulator.
Hey Greg, is Project Astoria or Islandward related with Xamarin?
Not to the best of my knowledge. So those are, Project Astoria is for Android Java support in Visual Studio, and Project Islandward is for Objective-C iOS support within Visual Studio. And that was released a couple weeks ago at Microsoft Build. What that is allowing you to do, the main target there isn't so much to take your existing full app, but if you have shared components that you would like to reuse, you can take your Java and your Delvic specific Java or your Objective-C iOS code and actually get that into a scenario where you can reuse that among other apps. And I believe that the idea is that you'll still have a UI that would be written specifically for each platform. And in that case, maybe down in the future, you'd be able to use those kind of components within Xamarin. I haven't tried that out yet, but that would be a very interesting scenario as those products become available. Right now, Islandward and Astoria are not available to the public yet. Those, they do have signups you can find on Microsoft's website if you're interested in getting notified when those are there. And I'll be tweeting about that, especially as I learn and play about that when I get more information, but there's still more to come on that.
And a quick question again. Is Xamarin Forms compatible with Mac OS X? Sorry, Mac OS.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. When you're on OS X and you want to be writing Xamarin Forms applications, you're going to be restricted to using Xamarin Studio, which, in my opinion, it's definitely a viable option. But you know, my preference is Visual Studio. But yes, you can do it on OS X as well for development scenarios. Now, I should specify that just like you need OS X to compile iOS, you're going to need Windows to compile a WinRT-based application. So the only one that really works on either or is Android, as long as you have the Android SDK downloaded there.
Hey, let's make it one final question, I guess. Greg, which Xamarin version is free?
I'm sorry, which one is free?
Which version of Xamarin is free?
The starter edition is free. But what I would recommend is really looking at the indie edition, which I believe is $25 per month, for that being a relatively low cost. And keep in mind, I don't get any money or anything from Xamarin. So I think that that's worth the initial investment, especially when you look at the cost of some of the other developer tools, especially if you're going to be able to monetize in any way your apps, like with in-app purchases or ad revenue or something. So. All right, I think I'm about running out of time. So that's all the time we have for questions today. I greatly appreciate all of you joining up and making this a great event, and look forward to interacting with all of you in the future. Thank you.